So a 7.4% unemployment rate. We're inching back to pre-2008 levels. Is it a flashback for you? Are we back to easy times? Tell me. From Fort Lauderdale, Florida, absolutely not. I currently have a bachelor's of science in economics, and I'm working on my master's in international economics. Finding a job is not easy. Unfortunately, it seems as if a bachelor's is equivalent to a high school diploma these days. Leslie on Facebook. Yes, things are better. I looked for work most of last year and didn't even get one interview. I finally found a job this May. Miami is not Minot, though, says one of you from Florida. No, it is not easier to get a job today. I have recently had no luck. I have a master's degree, extensive work experience, have applied for at least 10 jobs over the past 3 months, and have not been offered even one of them. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE to weigh in with your story. Here's another economic story. When Barack Obama was fighting tooth and nail for a second term back in 2012, he loved to talk about the bailout of the bankrupt auto industry as one of the government's greatest successes.
I believe in American workers. I believe in this American industry. And now the American auto industry has come roaring back, and GM's number one again.
What is good for General Motors apparently doesn't apply to the city of Detroit, which in July entered its own $18 billion bankruptcy, a record for a U.S. city. There is no talk in the White House and Congress of bailing out Detroit, the way the government bailed out AIG, which, by the way, reported better than expected profits today, or the way it bailed out GM. That contradiction and the fact that no one is really paying any attention to it is making lawmaker Dan Kildee, a Democratic congressman from Flint, Michigan, absolutely furious. Congressman Kildee, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, John.
We can bail out insurance companies, banks, auto companies. We can campaign about that, but bailing out an actual city, forget about it.
Yeah, and this is, I think this is a sort of a sad commentary on the state of our politics, but also on the lack of understanding of America's cities and the contribution that they have and should make to our economy. When we talk about the support, I think, that cities need, this is only in our national interest. It's not an act of charity that I would suggest or some sort of gift. But this is simply protecting our national interest the same way we were protecting our interests when we rescue the auto industry or, you know, other important institutions. It's not just Detroit. There's a whole subset of American cities, older industrial cities especially, that are at serious risk. And if we don't take action, we will pay a price as a nation and as a society.
And oddly, it seems to me the charity model might apply more to the bailouts of some of these companies where bondholders who took a risk get made whole. And they're not people who we would necessarily associate with the economic engines of the U.S.
That's right. I mean, in the case of a city is an essential entity. It's an essential institution in a metropolitan area, in a region. And I think these older industrial cities are essential. They're not going away. Unlike bankruptcy in a corporation, where the corporation itself could be liquidated. Its parts could be sold off and it could be reconstituted or not under a different form. In the case of a city, we don't have a choice of making that place just go away. It will be there. Whether or not it goes through bankruptcy, like in the case of Detroit, there will be 700,000 people living in that place. And for, as some have suggested, the federal government to simply sit in the on the sidelines and be an observer as this city goes through what could be a wrenching process for millions of people, I don't think lives up to the responsibility that we have as a national government. So the form that some assistance might take, I think more likely takes the form of the existing help that the federal government has provided to regions, to metropolitan areas. What I would suggest is that we simply concentrate that help in much the same way we have concentrated assistance to regions or to cities that have experienced overnight a catastrophe such as a hurricane, an earthquake, fires, whatever it might be. Detroit has experienced what we have referred to as a slow motion Katrina.
You know, as someone who represents Flint, Michigan, a place that's associated with an economic cratering of its own, you know of what you speak. You do speak from a certain experience here. When you have this conversation on Capitol Hill, do lawmakers just kind of roll their eyes at you and go, nice idea, please, I've got to get to lunch now? I mean, are you really fighting against a complete indifference on the Hill, bipartisan indifference?
There's a lot of indifference. I think you put your finger on it. And that really, unfortunately, covers the political spectrum, because a lot of folks see this situation through their own lens or through their own experience. Unless you represent one of these older industrial cities and have seen how federal policy, or in some cases state policy, over the decades have contributed to the hollowing out of these cities, you don't really understand that we actually have a role in this. And of course, folks, when they think about bankruptcy, they have a perception that bankruptcy itself is a solution to a problem, when really all it is a process that brings order to what would otherwise be a more chaotic situation. So, yeah, we've got a tall hill to climb.
But how do you deal with the argument? And I think a lot of people will be thinking this as they listen to you talk, that the federal government bailing out Detroit ends up being a reward for the politics of former Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick. That basically the corruption of Detroit gets rewarded by the federal government coming, and now every city can go, you know, there's always going to be a plan B.
Well, I think only if we decide that policy is some sort of morality play and that we punish an entire region for the misdeeds of a couple of bad actors. I think the other thing is that that impression implies that Mayor Kilpatrick himself was solely responsible for the failure of Detroit. He contributed to it for sure, no question about that. But there's no way that a single mayor for just a term or two can turn around the economic fortunes of a city whose decline began in 1950. That's when Detroit's peak population hit, 1950. So we've had this long period fueled by suburbanization, fueled by racial avoidance, fueled by a housing policy and transportation policy that accommodated the relocation of wealth and economic activity out of these cities into metros, or national trade policy that accommodated the relocation of really strong industrial jobs overseas or into Mexico. It's pretty hard to hold one individual who served a very brief period of time responsible for the collapse of that city when so many other factors contributed to it.
Congressman Dan Kildee, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Dan Kildee is a Democratic congressman representing Michigan's 5th District.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.